Someone whose feet must be killing him is on the phone. His name is Dr. Ogun Gorel. Dr. Gorel has been with us a couple of times during his journey. He is in the, well, almost at the end of a 700-mile walk from Chicago, where he lives, to Washington, D.C. He's walking for health care. In fact, you can follow along his progress at walk4, that's walk number 4, healthcare.org. Dr. Gorel, where are you now?
I'm actually in Bethesda, Maryland, in the hotel, but I reached the Gaithersburg, and I had a friend drive down from, first of all, thank you for having me again, Nicole.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Pleasure to be here. And a friend of mine drove down from Rhode Island, so a lot of interest and friends really gathering around, and shuttled me to the hotel in Bethesda, but technically my walk will restart in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
So you're planning on arriving in Washington, D.C. on Sunday?
That's right. So we're going to be leaving early in the morning on Sunday. It's about, the last leg is 11 miles, and be attending a rally of healthcare reform activists in Meridian Hill Park, also known as Malcolm X Park, sometime around 2 p.m. The rally actually starts at 1 p.m. And at the end of that rally, people will be joining me for the very last leg, which will be from the Meridian Hill Park to the Lincoln Memorial.
Wow.
So a lot of events planned for Sunday, a lot of interest, as I mentioned, people driving down to meet me, some very, happy to see old friends and so forth. So it's a very exciting day planned for Sunday. Again, the rally from 1 to 4 p.m. at Meridian Hill Park in Washington, D.C.
This is our third time chatting, but for those who haven't heard you before, start at the beginning. Tell them what you're doing and why.
Well, I'm walking, as you mentioned, Nicole, 700 miles from Chicago to Washington, D.C. And about a week before I started the walk, which was on June 27th, it's a month-long walk, I was observing the healthcare reform debate unfolding on Congress and the various testimony of a lot of CEOs and lobbyists and so forth. And I was absolutely appalled by the self-interested rather selfish arguments that were put forth. We have to deny coverage. We have to do pre-existing conditions just because we need to stay in business. And certain other special interest group, we have to maintain our payments because that's just the way it is. And it just was mind-boggling to me, number one, those arguments. But number two, more importantly, was where was the voice of the people? Where were the people who are actually need the health care reform? And this includes doctors, too, for that matter, who are up in arms about some of the aspects of health care system. And I said, where is that voice? And I said, what better than to do a walk, which, of course, is a not uncommon statement for a cause. And then along the way, I've been gathering these stories, getting signed consent for sometimes very tragic and very distressing stories, care.org, and on Twitter, at Walk for Healthcare, and also to bring them to Congress on Sunday and the days following when I arrive in D.C. Because simply put, the voice of the people has to be at the front of this. I don't understand how it could be otherwise.
Right. Now, so along the way, you're walking and you've got like a sign on your back, and so people know that you're coming and they know they could see who you are. And as you're going, you've met people along the way. You get invited into their homes and they tell you their stories, right?
That's right. I mean, obviously, it's not the most usual sight to see someone with an American flag sticking out of their back and huffing and puffing their way up the country road. So I often go up to people, and they look at me with a curious eye, and I explain the situation. And I'll be very frank with you, they are eager to have these stories out. There's a great sense of frustration, not only in the tragedies that people are undergoing, the bankruptcies, the denied care, the hoops that have to be gone through, even for those who have insurance. There's frustration around that, certainly, but there's also frustration that their voice is not being heard, that these stories are not taking the forefront, are not really being discussed, other than a statistic of 50 or so million uninsured. And so people are, they are just really pleased. That's not the right word, because these are not necessarily pleasing stories, but are really happy to see someone interested in this and bringing this to the attention of Congress and other people that, you know, are making these decisions. So I tell them about the walk, and they very willingly and very openly share these stories. And it's been an honor, a privilege, and a real humbling experience to have had this opportunity. And I owe an obligation to them. And that's what inspires me to go all this way, literally, because certain portions of the walk are quite painful, as you noted in the beginning. But I feel an obligation that these stories must be heard.
Yes. Yeah, so you've been writing them up. You every night you walk all day. Every night you stop at a hotel. You get to and you sit and you write up the stories of the people that you've spoken to during the day.
Yeah, and then actually I Twitter some of the stories. Obviously, a healthcare story is hard to fit in 140 characters, but if I can summarize them in a pithy statement, I actually sometimes Twitter them along with an accompanying picture on our Twitter feed at Walk. The number four, healthcare, walk for healthcare. And so I Twittered one woman who basically made a very nice statement. She said, if you don't have insurance, you're treated differently. Obviously, it doesn't reveal the full complexity of her story, but it does fit on a Twitter thing. So I'm presenting these on Twitter, blogging about them on our website, and also it's a very compelling package, literally, over 150 stories that are accumulated in my notebook that I'll be presenting to Congress persons and senators who wish to listen, and I hope they want to listen. I mean, that's what our American government's about, the voice of the people.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Dr. Ogun Gurel. The website is walk4healthcare.org. So you get to D.C. on Sunday. You're going to be part of this rally, and the people from the rally are going to walk with you for the last few miles. Then what happens? Do you have meetings set up? What do you have planned after you get to Washington, D.C.?
Well, we've had a lot of supporters on the website, a lot of Twitter followers. There's a Facebook group. The website that you indicated also has a button for that Facebook group. So hundreds, and if you add up all the various followers, thousands. And they have been writing to their representatives. Obviously, I can't write to all the representatives. They listen to their constituents. So we've had all these followers write to the congressmen, congresspersons, and senators, as well as President Obama, and we've already started setting up some meetings with some senators and their staffers. But this is a very rapidly evolving process, as is the health care reform debate, as you well know. And I suspect there are going to be many more meetings set up. And like what's also very important, Nicole, is media outreach, just as you're doing, because media, as they say, is the fourth branch of government. And I view getting these stories out, not just to speak with lawmakers, but to, as we have presented in some of your previous shows, present them, you know, through the media.
Right. Now, you had mentioned, I think the last time we spoke, that Congressman or Senator Bernie Sanders, who's just awesome, has expressed an interest in meeting with you. Do you have a meeting set up with him?
Yeah, there's a meeting sort of in process. Everything's fluid. Actually, my schedule is filling up. I don't have the list right in front of me, but there's a couple of congressmen, the healthcare staffer for my congressman, Representative Quigley, has arranged a meeting. I have an NPR Chicago interview Monday. There's Senator Bob Casey from Pennsylvania. That scheduling is in process. Senator Leahy, who's the counterpart to Senator Sanders, that meeting process is in process. So all this is happening now. And I would urge your listeners, actually, to visit the website, find out more, and contact their members of Congress, just as our direct followers have been doing. It's critically important to get this message out. The meeting with these lawmakers is not to congratulate me on a walk, but to share with these stories. Because, as I said to others, the policy details are important, but if we don't make the people's voice primary, then it really doesn't matter how much we finagle or debate over policy minutiae. if we have the people's voice first, things will be done the right way. That's my feeling.
Right. So how long are you staying in D.C.?
I'll be there through Tuesday night, and I think your question is a good one because I don't think this is going to end Tuesday night in terms of the meetings. I suspect that, you know, the debate is continuing, and I think that the impact of the walk will continue beyond Sunday, certainly, and beyond Tuesday. It's very hard to say just because we don't even know what's going to happen in Congress, even over the tomorrow, for example,
you know, right.
Over the next week. So, but I, my feeling is that this effect will resonate for several weeks, if not months, to give that influence, you know, one portion of the people's voice and bring that to bear to the debate. So I'm ready to come back out to D.C. or continue those communications. So ostensibly I'm here until Tuesday night, but I'm definitely committed to trying to leverage these important stories for as long as necessary.
Great. Now, Dr. Ogun-Gorell, you are a you're Harvard-educated and Columbia-educated. You're a medical doctor, but now you work as a consultant. And do I read it correctly that you do not, you're self-employed now and you don't have health insurance?
That's right. I mean, one of the interesting aspects about my background that I think is important is I've really done a lot of things in healthcare. I've obviously have an MD degree. I've done part of residency. I've done clinical work overseas as a relief doctor. I've also been in the business side as a consultant. I've even been the CEO of a small publicly traded medical device company, so I know how CEOs think. And more recently, I'm a self-employed consultant, and business has not been that great, no surprise, I think. And I just can't afford to buy health insurance. And so I am, indeed, as you indicated, a physician without health insurance presently.
That is insane.
I mention it to people because I think a lot of people have these healthcare woes, and in a way it's not comforting, it's not quite the right word, but they are amazed that I don't have health insurance, but at the same rate they can certainly relate to that. And that background that spans the clinical, the business side, I think has enabled me to reach out to a broad swath of people, Republicans and Democrats, and the walk has gone through some swing states. So I'm not just talking to the uninsured. I'm talking to insured people. I'm talking, as I mentioned, to both sides of the political divide. So the stories that I have really are a very good cross-section, I believe, of what it means to be part of the healthcare system, insured or uninsured in America. It's not just a certain segment that I focused on.
Right. Dr. Ogun-Gorell is his name. He is getting close to have completed a 700-mile walk from Chicago to Washington, D.C. He arrives in D.C. on Sunday and will participate in a big rally, the People's Rally, Medicare for All. Now at Malcolm X Park at 16th and Euclid Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., and they will walk the final 4 miles, is it?
I think it's going to be three.
Uh-huh.
We're going to the park is north of the White House, so we're going to walk past the White House. I'm certainly not going to subject everybody to a 20-mile walk, which I've been doing every day for the past 30
Ooh,
years.
Wow.
But it's about 3 miles, and we'll go past the White House and then go to the across the National Mall to the Lincoln Memorial. And that's extremely important because Lincoln has been a metaphor for me. As we discussed on a previous show, Nicole, I've walked most of the 700 miles on the so-called Lincoln Highway, which was the first transcontinental highway, which was a patchwork of private roads in the 19th century as originally developed. And then in the 1920s was federalized after the First World War because it was considered a public good and also for practical reasons, transporting men and materials in wartime. And the Lincoln Highway was federalized. Obviously, the asphalt was laid down with private companies and so forth. But I think this speaks to a very important metaphor that the open road is a public good, certainly it's not free. It's paid either directly or indirectly through various sorts of taxes. But it's a public good, and there's nothing more American than the open road. So this idea that public goods, that shared collective, good is un-American is patently false. And
right.
I believe the same holds true for healthcare. Not everything needs to be a public good, obviously.
But
and
this should be. It should be a basic human right.
But healthcare is.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Ogun Gorel, find him at walkforhealthcare.org. There's a link from my blog at radioornot.com and from my page at airamerica.com. Always a pleasure talking to you. We'll catch up again Monday night and find out how the end of the walk went, okay? Thanks for checking in with us tonight.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
Have a great weekend and have a great time Sunday, and I look forward to speaking with you again Monday.